We're going to continue today to speak about the gospel and the church. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the house of God. There's a principle in the scriptures about the house of God, going back to the tabernacle and then the temple and then the church. And in the 84th Psalm, I'd like to read a few verses about the concept of the house of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
We've been speaking and will continue to speak for a couple more weeks on the subject of the gospel and the church, the New Testament church. The gospel is the centerpiece of the Bible. It's the central message from God. It is the most important thing that any human being can hear. I don't care if they're living in Tasmania. I don't care if they're in the outback of New Zealand or Australia or Siberia or up in the Arctic Circle. Wherever a human being is, and there's about 7 billion of them now on the earth, the most important message they can hear is not the cure for cancer. It's not about polyunsaturated fats. It's not about gas mileage per gallon. It's not about any kind of weather patterns. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because every one of the 7 billion people are going to die. It's appointed on a man who wants to die, and after this the judgment. And here is the most amazing and marvelous thing. God, who is the great judge and the righteous judge, must, to be God, he must judge everyone. And the only way anybody can stand in that judgment is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Christ came and died for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Now, listen up, if you have any wonder about your own situation here, any wonder about it, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and paid the penalty for your sins, and the Bible teaches us all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid that wage for your sins when he died on the cross. And now he's made an offer to all mankind. It's a bona fide offer. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And let me just say that the Bible tells us when we come unto the Father, we come unto the Father to a new life. And ultimately, it's going to be with him in a home in heaven. God has created the earth to be inhabited by human beings, because in his vision and in his plan, he wants to make a home with all who will come, all who will be saved, a home forever in heaven to the others. Oh, it's an awful thing. Now, with this gospel message, as central as it is and as beautiful as it is and as universal as it is, he determined to build a church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The devil's trying to win as many of those 7 billion, just to keep them in a state of unbelief. But he says that the church is going to be able to deal with the devil and the gates of hell. And the gates of hell will not ultimately prevail. And so he designed this church. And the Bible refers to that New Testament church as his house. And today his house is being ignored by many who call themselves Baptist and by many, many, many who call themselves Christian. And we want to emphasize that aspect today because it started a long time ago in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Lord designed a house to represent His name, and that house, which was first of all the tabernacle and then the temple, was a place where they had sacrifices and burned incense. And the central message, according to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, for that Old Testament house of God, the central message was the gospel. Those sacrifices were a shadow of the gospel that Jesus would die. And the argument is made in Hebrews that all those blood of all those goats and all those sheep could not atone for sin, but they merely were shadows to say one would come, the perfect Lamb of God would come, and He would atone for sin. And so the house of the tabernacle and the house of the temple, even before the house of the New Testament church, was there to feature the gospel message. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we could look back in the book of Numbers and see that even before this, even before Moses died on Mount Nebo, prior to the children of Israel going into the promised land, while they were wandering in the wilderness, God said, when you do go into that promised land, I want you to tear down the high places of the worship of those people in that land. Tear it down. Do away with it. And then we turn here to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and see that repeated. It says, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land you're going to come into, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. The promised land was meant to be the promised land all the way back to the time of Abraham. The people of God were in Egypt to a great extent because of disobedience and also because of prophecy and because of the plan of God. And now they were going to come into the land that was rightfully theirs, given to them by God. And He said, you follow all of these things that I have written here for example, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Follow these things. And when you come into that land, you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. This is very deep proposition. Because there's a way that seems right to men, and the end thereof are the ways of death, it says in the book of Proverbs. We think as just base human beings without the influence of the sweet Holy Spirit of God and without the influence of the Bible, we think that God will be impressed with a very large and very high place. And so these heathen that worshipped other gods and worshipped idolatry, they had their places of worship built up on the tops of mountains. And in some places, for example, in Babylon and other places, man actually heaped up their own mountains and then put their worship place on top of the mountains. And they really thought of all of this not so much with the idea of the true God, but their own image of God. And so many people think, well, I know all about God and don't know anything about God. And the house of God was designed by God so people would know about God. And the heathen, they worshipped horizontally and looking down. Think about it. You find the most beautiful place. Today, people think that way about religion. We need, you know what Hallmark needs? We need somebody that looks like Tom Cruise and has the personality of one of John Wayne's characters. And with the oratory of Churchill. And with the physical presence. And we need a place that just sparkles and shines. It could be fluorescent. It could be, and it should be big, and it should be loud, and it should be noisy, and people should come in and be in awe. And if possible, it should be built in the most beautiful possible place. A beach lot would be perfect, where people can look out and see the ocean. And so they worship that way. And God said, look, when you come into the land, the best thing you can do is tear all those places down. Read on. He says, you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. And then verse 5 gets right to the crux of the issue that we want to look at today. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose. He's talking here about the tabernacle. And it's interesting, down in verse 11, after they've spent the time wandering in the wilderness and haven't yet come to Jerusalem and haven't yet got a permanent place, they'll use the tabernacle. But down in verse 11, when you finally get in and get settled in Jerusalem, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. Talking about the temple. So you're going to have a place that God designs that is going to feature the gospel, that is going to be a place where people should look up. I hope when you come to Hallmark, you're looking up. You're not looking at me. Think about it. God created the heavens and the earth. We're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. God made the way of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. God features the gospel message right from the Garden of Eden all the way to the last breath is drawn and the last moment of this earth. The gospel is center stage. And now He says, I'm going to choose a place where when people come in and they truly have a heart to worship, they're going to look up. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Look up to God, because He inhabits the whole of eternity and the whole of infinity and the whole of creation. He inhabits. And He is great and lifted up. And we are like grasshoppers before Him. Look up. So He said, I'm going to build a house. And read this in verse 5. He says, But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation, that's His house. The tabernacle was always, while it existed as the place of worship, was always God's house. Just a quick review of the last time we spoke on this subject. The things to build this house, which would glorify God, which would speak of the gospel, and would speak of the things of God, they gathered all of those things together, had them all stockpiled. It was a job site to be seen. A civil engineer would have been impressed. An architect would have been impressed. An engineer would have been impressed. A builder would have been impressed. A carpenter would have been impressed with the plans that God had and the precision of those plans to be just what God wanted, to be a portable house that could go with them in the wilderness. And when that house was built, God came down with His Shekinah glory as if to say to all the people, Moses, you got it right. You did it the way I said. And the people, the different people that were carpenters and people that knew how to deal with these things and built these things, He said, you did it right. And the Spirit of God stayed on that house. And it was in the night a pillar of fire to lead them, and in the daytime a pillar of smoke. And the Spirit of God was on that house, so the people knew, this is the house of God. And then down verse 11 says, when you finally get into the land and you get settled in Jerusalem, and it was many kings later, you know, it wasn't Saul that built the house. It wasn't David that built the house. It was Solomon that built the house. And the same thing happened again. He said, get this. This is what you're going to need. And they had stones. There's still some of those stones that you can see, just a few. Those stones and the cedars of Lebanon and gold and silver and fine cloth. And they built the temple. And read in 1 Kings chapter 7, and read in 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon gathered the people, the whole nation of Israel, together around the temple. And they sacrificed thousands and thousands of lambs to say, through this work, God is going to send His lamb. And His blood is going to be more sufficient than all the blood of all these lambs and all these goats. And coming is going to be the Lord. And that house had a veil that kept the people away from the Holy of Holies, and only once a year could you go into the Holy of Holies, and then it had to be a high priest that went in. And so they were all gathered there together, and Solomon prayed and said something like this, "Show us, Lord, if this is what you wanted." And the Shekinah glory, the Spirit of God, came down upon that house in such a way that the priest couldn't go in. The people shrunk back and they said, "Wow, this is the house of God." It was a sign and a wonder to show it to be true. And then that was to be the house of God from that day forward. Well, it's the house of God of this temple that much of the text that we're going to read now and look at now is about, because the people of Israel, once they knew it was God's house, wouldn't you think that that would be the place of worship? But you know, we all have our frailties. Even the most dedicated Christian in this room has frailties. There is a tendency to go towards the flesh. There is a tendency to go towards what seems right. And Israel was not made up of all saved people. There were a lot of the high priests weren't saved. You remember when Jesus came? The high priests were the ones that were conniving against him. They weren't saved. Israel wasn't a saved nation. They had some saved people in it. David was saved. When he fell in sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite and all of that, and he came to himself when Nathan confronted him, he said, "Restore the joy of my salvation." He was saved. But many of the people weren't. And what did they do? They got lazy. It's the natural thing. What's the easiest thing to do? It's easier to lose your homework than to do your homework, isn't it? Almost every kid lost his homework. Yeah, right. I lost it, right. There's a natural tendency to slouch. Judge Bork wrote a book called Slouching Towards Gomorrah. And that basically indicates that that's a natural tendency. Well, what happened in Israel was the house of God was built. He says back here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, "When I build this house," he says, "there's where you should bring your burnt offerings," verse 6, "and your sacrifices and your tithes." It's my house. Come there with your sacrifices. Bring your tithes there. Support the work. Support those that are given to the worship. Support to the preachers, the high priests, the musicians. Support them with your tithes in my house. They didn't do it. It was a bit of a walk. It was a bit of a ride. It was a bit of a trip to come on the holy days to the house of God. So they built themselves little houses of God of their own liking up on the high places where they lived. And they copied the Canaanites and they copied some of the other heathen nations. And they built things in groves and beautiful places. And a rich man would be able to fund it. And then people would go to those high places. He said, "Don't do that. Don't you do that." He said, "You don't do like them." He says, "You bring your tithes, your heave offerings, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks, and do your sacrifices here in the house of God." If you get the time, and I'd say take the time, get a concordance and look up high places. And the best way to do that is look up the word high. And then all the places where you can see that where it says places after it. And then look up the word places and then look at all the places where it says high before the places. And you get way over 70. I got way over 70. The high places became, they were more prolific than McDonald's franchise. They got to be almost like McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Burger King, and all put together. There were high places every place because the people got to where, see, it took an effort. And not only that, the house of God was very precise in the way it was to be run and the way the sacrifices were to be done. And so they could just take all kinds of liberties. And I looked up those places while I was up in Wisconsin and made a somewhat of a study out of them. And there's over 70 times that it shows up. And I want to read a few of these verses. And then I'm going to tell you the three categories that they're in. One is, the category of God's view of the high places where they had these worship things. And let me hasten to say that they were, many of them were worshiping God in those high places. And what we hear today, see, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the house of God today. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about the church of the Lord, and it's the house of God, and the church of the living God is the house of God. It says in that book of 1 Timothy, Paul says, I've written these things unto you that you might know how to behave yourself. And in that early part of 1 Timothy, it tells about the qualifications of an elder. And the church, the New Testament church that Jesus built, had a plurality of elders. It tells about the qualifications of a deacon. It tells how women ought to conduct themselves in the church. It tells how to conduct business in the church. It tells how to preach the word in the church. It tells what is featured in the church. It features the gospel message. He goes on in his second letter and tells how churches start other churches. And how we teach men who then can teach other men. 2 Timothy 2:2. And all of these things. And we say all that to say there is a house of God today, and it's the New Testament church, but there's also tons of high places today where people now take their tithes and their offerings and do their worship, and they think, well, I'll do that. Well, they were all through the Old Testament, all through the nation of Israel, and here's the three categories. In Leviticus chapter 26, God says, I will destroy your high places. In Psalm 78, it says that the people of Israel provoked him, that is God, to anger with their high places. In Ezekiel chapter 6, it says, I will destroy your high places. In another place in Ezekiel, it says, the high places shall be desolate. In another place, God says, I shall break down the high places. And the theme here is that God was wroth with their high places. That's another place that says, he was wroth with their high places. You say, wait a minute now, Brother Bill. Didn't you say they were many times worshiping God in the high places? Yes. In fact, let's just take a second and look at a verse that makes that true. Second, makes that clear. 2 Chronicles 33:16-17. Because here's what people say today. Here's what people say today. Brother Bill, Hallmark Baptist Church, Sister Mary, whoever they're talking to, they'll say something like this. Well, we all worship the same God, and isn't there a lot of ways to worship God? How many times have you heard that? We all, it's the same God, right? They even cut the Mormons slack. They even cut Catholics slack, who for a long time have not featured the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many of the dead Protestant religions, they say, well, it's the same God. What they're doing is, and that's okay. And don't be so hard on them. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 16 and 17. This was in the time of Manasseh. And they had a revival in the time of Manasseh. But one of those other three categories in the high places is, so many of the kings, even when they had revivals, nevertheless, it says, moreover, nevertheless, they didn't take away the high places. It wasn't a complete revival. And here it says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Can we just pause there for a minute? Why would he have to repair the altar? You know, the Lord's house suffers when God's people go off after the high places. I believe the historic Baptist people, which have been called by different names, going all the way back to the church in Jerusalem, I believe that was a historic Baptist church, and that church started the church in Antioch, and that church started the church in Lystra and Derbe, and the seven churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, those all were started by other churches under the authority of that church. Just think, if all those who were born again from that time had truly believed and understood this concept of the marriage between the gospel and the house of God, the gospel and the New Testament church, if all that money and all that energy and all that skill and all that talent and all that zeal and all that soul had gone into the house of God, whatever community it was in, truly following the will of God, it would have been a marvel and a wonder. But read on here. It says in verse 16. Again, we're in chapter 33. They had to repair the altars. They did all that. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now, I'm going to do something that will it'll make somebody irritated. I hope not. I really trust none of you will be irritated. Actually, I should say, none of you will be irritated at this. Today, the high places are parachurch organizations. I'm going to read some. I got this. I Googled list of parachurch organizations. It takes me to Wikipedia. Wikipedia lists a very partial list. I'm just going to read them. Because here's where the money's going. Here's where the talent's going. The people that really are on fire and really have the money and have really so many of them. Alpha Course. I don't know what it is. The Billy Graham Evangelical Association, Campus Crusade for Christ, Athletes in Action, Family Life, the Jesus Film Project, Global Aid Network, Cadence International, Christian Motorcyclists Association. You might chuckle and say, well, you know, those motorcyclists, they need a thing. They're Jews for Jesus. When I was first saved, there are a lot of Jews for Jesus. You know, they need something. Poor little fellows, those motorcycle guys, they need a... That's a high place. They get their own little gathering, and it's a Christian motorcycle organization, and they have services, and they do the things that the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to spread the gospel. We're supposed to baptize those that are saved, and we're supposed to teach the word. Commission to Every Nation. Christianity Explored Ministries. Esprit Omnimedia. Gideon's International. Jesus to the World Mission, Living Waters, The Way of the Master, Mercy Ships, National Network of Youth Ministries, The Navigators, One Accord Ministries, Operation Mobilization, Open Air Campaigners, Prison Fellowship, Scripture Union, SOULVN Ministries, Tell the Truth Outreach Ministries, The Lord is Here Outreach, The Jesus Bus. And I could go on. And on and on. And I would say right now, in the United States of America, there would be hundreds of thousands of people, many of them born again, who would say, well, I give my tithes to the Jesus bus. You say, Brother Bill, you're being hard. All these references to the high places, including this one in 2 Chronicles, which says they did worship God in the high places. Nevertheless, it says, they sacrificed in the high places, and those other passages says God was wroth with their high places. God was angry with their high places. And one of the reasons was it mimicked the organizations that were there when they came into the land. And what does Jesus bus and Christian motorcyclists, what do they have in common? They take a business format. They take a business format. And they follow a business format in the Billy Graham Crusade. Listen, I know that's almost heretical to say something negative about that. But the Billy Graham Crusade is not the Church of the Living God. And when you have one person that's kind of the head of the whole thing, and he's the real draw, you got a problem. You got a problem. How many of those things? Rex Humbard, remember that? Ooh, whoops. Problems. What about Oral Roberts' son? Whoops. Who was the guy that went into New Orleans? What was his name? I can't remember. Well, Jimmy Swaggart did. He fell too. Whoops. But there was another guy that was a minister to the streetwalkers and the prostitutes and so on and so forth. Whoops! They all fell. Not everybody fell, but it wasn't built according to the pattern of the New Testament church in the New Testament or the temple in the Old Testament. And God said, look, I'm wroth with those things. I'm angry with those things. It's not what I want. And so, we look back through the Old Testament and there's passage after passage after passage where it says, nevertheless, Asa had a revival, but nevertheless he let the high places go on. Joash had a revival. They had revivals, but they left the high places there, and God was angry and God was wroth with them. Then along comes Josiah. And you remember his revival? His was a grassroots revival. You know when we'll know when there's a revival in this country, really? When people flow back into the house of God and they bring their tithes, and I'm not pushing for more money. We're not asking for more money. This is not to get money. It's to be righteous before God. The grassroots revival will be like it was in Josiah's day. In Josiah's day, let's just look there for a minute. We'll find that account in 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. See, I'm gonna get about halfway through this message and you're gonna have to come next Sunday to hear the rest of it. Because it's just gonna go on. But 2 Kings chapter 23, and I won't worry about time too much, but I do want to read these things. Josiah put down the idolatrous priests. Verse 5, 2 Kings chapter 23. Whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. One of the problems with all these religious institutions is that they have a life. You start a life with the high places. The YMCA and the Salvation Army and so many of these things were started to, they were to be gospel things, right? Well now, whoa, what's happened? Oh, there's a little bit of a problem. The YMCA has got a lot of problems in the big city. It's not about the gospel anymore. And then you got to be expansive, and then you got to accommodate the gay problem. And then you got to accommodate all the other factions of religion. And then you got to accommodate people who aren't even saved, but they have deep pockets. You know, we need your money. They don't necessarily, it's your money we want. And God said about the New Testament church, through Peter, he said, the new house of God is going to be built up of lively stones. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 31, and other places, it says, that new house of God, I'm going to write the law in their hearts. They're going to be new people. They're going to be new creatures. And the house of God is going to be made up of individuals. See, this church could burn to the ground. And the property could be foreclosed. And we could meet out in my garage. Or some of you may have a big enough room, we could have lots of visitors, and the church would go on because it's made up of the people, not the building. And those high places got to be an institution of their own, and they have a life of their own, and you can't kill them. And they go on and on and on. There's going to be the Jesus bus is going to be here 50 years from now. And no telling what it's going to do. And so here's what Josiah did. In verse 5 it says he took those things down. In verse 8, and he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering and in the gates of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. He broke those down. Verse 12, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. Anything that didn't resemble the house of God wasn't right for the house of God. He took care of them. Then verse 13 says, and the high priests that were before Jerusalem, All of those did the king defile. And it says that they had a Passover in Josiah's day that there never was one before, or never one since. Like that good, they had such a revival. You cannot imagine the revival if, see, the house of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. What we deal in is the gospel. We deal in the scriptures. We deal in the New Testament doctrines that the Bible teaches. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's the pillar and ground of the truth, it says in 1 Timothy 3:15. It's the house of God. It's the house of God. And whenever you look at these high places and you see that they were destroyed, God was pleased that they destroyed the high places. Now, we aren't going to go out and have guerrilla operations against the Jesus bus, or Christianity for motorcycle. What does it say in the New Testament? It says our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty to pulling down of strongholds. And one of those strongholds is spiritual wickedness in high places. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, and we'll close today's sermon with this. It emphasizes the positive aspect of the ministry of the church in a way that's just hard to miss. Ephesians 3:10. He talks about the church. And he's told about how in this church the Lord has put pastors and teachers and so on and so forth. And by the way, he didn't pick charismatic people to be the leaders of the New Testament church. Not those that were wise after the world. Not John Wayne. Not Tom Cruise. Not Jane Fonda. You know, people just celebrate when they hear. You know, you could say right now, did you hear he's already dead, Michael Jackson. Let's find somebody that's alive. Did you hear that LeBron James has become a Christian? He's a big basketball player for the Miami Heat. Derek Jeter has become a Christian. Oh, this is fantastic. Well, it is good that his soul is saved. If he is saved, that's good. It's not the answer for Christianity. The Lord chose fishermen and tax collectors and average people, not those that were wise after the world. And they were saved. And they received the Spirit of God. And the gospel is carried in earthen vessels, Paul says. And we carry it this way. We pass it on. And we gather together as a congregation, and Jesus prayed that His churches would be unified, so when the people came by, they would know that God had sent them. There's a passage in the book of Psalm that says, the kings of the earth came by the temple when it was the way it ought to be. And it says they trembled. The kings of the earth trembled. It says the queen of the south came up to see the temple and see all that was in the temple and all the house of God. And she was converted to Christ. When she saw the wisdom that was in the house of God that came through Solomon from God, through Solomon to the building of the temple, and Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here, speaking about himself. But when the house of God is the way it ought to be, it also says in Acts chapter 5, when the Holy Spirit of God exercised discipline on Ananias and Sapphira, what does it say about the house of God then? No man durst join with them. See, you can join up. Where do you sign up? Where do you sign up for the Jesus bus? Nobody's going to say, well, right here, but if it costs $100, then we have dues for $50 and this kind of thing. The house of God isn't that way. Remember? They came, the building stuff that the house of God was made out of, they came to John the Baptist and he says, I want to see fruits that show you've repented. Then I'll baptize you. Then you'll be prepared to be made into a house of God that Jesus is going to do. And when the Spirit of God came down with Ananias and Sapphira, and they had been, really, it was a subtle sin, but it was open before everybody. And they both died there. And people said, this house of God is a serious business. And Jesus, after he said, I will build my church, in chapter 16 and chapter 18, he told how you ought to deal with sin in the church and about how discipline. And he says, the church should discipline him and he should be unto you as a heathen and a publican. It's serious business. What would it be like if this message that comes out of this word were in the hearts of God's people today and widely spread, and there was a wide conviction and a wide concern, what would it be like if they pressed on with the work preaching? Because not to get money, not to be popular, not to get a name for yourself, not to have a place, but because woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we get to this text we're going to end with, Ephesians 3 and verse 10. After he's told us how we're all in one body up in verse 16, and Jew or Gentile, and in chapter 2, verse 16, and how that Jesus Christ is the one who's made us a prisoner to him in a wonderful way. He says he wants to make all men, in verse 6, see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This Christianity is a marvelous thing. I never get tired of the old story. Last Sunday night, two Sunday nights ago, we had testimonies of salvation, and I soared up as an eagle when I heard the people from New Covenant and heard some of the brothers and sisters here give their testimony of salvation. That was as happy as I've been in years. Just because I hear it, there's a fellowship and a mystery that an unsaved person could never enter into. And then in verse 10 he says this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, I don't care how high it is, there's condos, there's apartments on the east side in New York that rent for $20,000 a month. No exaggeration. $20,000 a month. You can see the East River. You haven't got a place to park your car, but it's $20,000 a month. That's a high place. That's heavenly. But he says, the church is designed in a special way that those people, rich people, moneyed people, educated people, learned people, powerful people, people who are in charge of principalities and powers, they might know the manifold wisdom of God by what means? Read it. By the church. No wonder the kings trembled when they came and saw the temple when it was the way it ought to be. No wonder the queen of the south came up and was converted when she saw the house of God when it was set the way it was supposed to be. No wonder it says in Acts chapter 5, no one durst join themselves with the house of God. There was a fear of God around the concept of the house of God. Tom gave his testimony of salvation, and my parents, who were not saved at the time, apparently, and I don't know about from that time forward, but my mother said to Tom, and Tom mentioned this, I thought it was kind of humorous, and yet I can order sort of, she says, Tom, he was about 13, weren't you? About 13. Said, Tom, you know those people, talking about Adonai, they go to church three times a week. That's not even being serious, is it? Is that being serious? Is that too serious for Christ who died on the cross for us? That's serious? Listen, when the people of God are serious, and it's in the marrow of our bones, and we can't but speak the gospel, and we're driven to talk about the gospel, and even when we go through the line in the grocery store, we say, it's a beautiful day the Lord has made, isn't it? Or the Lord gave you a nice smile. Or thank you for helping me. God bless you. Or whatever we say. Or give a little account of our salvation. We've passed many of those out of our own salvation. Here's the story of my life. I wrote it to one of my elementary school classmates, and that person wrote back and said, very interesting to read what you said. My Christianity took a more conventional form. I don't know what that means, but I know this. You must be born again. And the New Testament church is going to make the manifold wisdom of God known to the powers and principalities in heavenly places. May the Lord bless you in every way. I'm not going to give an invitation today. We give an invitation 9 out of 10 times. Today I'm just not going to do that, except to make a general invitation. You don't have to walk the aisle to get saved. I didn't. I got saved by the side of my bed in Fort Benning, Georgia. I won't tell you that whole story, but I asked the Lord to save me and begged Him to forgive me of my sins. And I got up off my knees a different person. And I've been different ever since. And thank God for it. And every one of you that knows the Lord has experienced like that. If you don't know the Lord, go and get alone with the Lord. It's between you and Him. You know, even if Tom Cruise and John Wayne came back from the dead, you don't need that. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And no notable person is what stands between you and God. It's your sin and your own heart that needs to be contrite before God and beg His forgiveness and put your trust in Him for eternal life. Let's all stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer.